I just want to share a little bit tonight, not a whole long time. And I'm going to be starting here in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. The thing about the book of Colossians is that you almost have to start chapter 1, verse 1, and just go through this whole book. So we are going to be jumping in the middle of some things here, and you can take the time to go back and meditate the whole book. I mean, it's a short book. But in chapter 2, he's talking to the Colossians, he's encouraging them about their walk and their relationship with Jesus Christ. Because there were people who were going in behind Paul and to these many of these other churches and teaching things that just weren't right. The same kind of thing that goes on today. And he said in chapter 2, verse 7, well, in fact, verse 6, he said, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Well, who was it that had been doing the teaching? Well, it had been Paul and the apostles. In other words, he's saying, you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, remain rooted in Him, and if you remain rooted in Him, then you will be built up in Him. But if you start sinking roots outside of what we the apostles have taught you, then you are going to be drawing, say, tainted water into your root system. And it's going to infect your spiritual life. Well, if you jump ahead here in this, in verse 9, it says, "For in Him," speaking of Jesus, "dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." So he's saying, look, Jesus Christ is not separate from God. He is God. In Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then he says, you, those of you who have accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, you are complete in Him. Now, literally what he is saying here is your completeness as a Christian comes from everything you are drawing from Him as you remain rooted in Him. You become, the fullness of your salvation begins to come forth bearing fruit and so forth, if you will. He says, you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now notice what he says in verse 12. "Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses." So he says here in verse 12, buried with Him in baptism. This is symbolic of His death. Meaning when He died, then you died in Him. If you have accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, His death represents your death. He was made your sin and died under that penalty. "Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised Jesus from the dead." So not only did I die in Him, but I have been risen with Him. Now this is very, very important, because what this is not saying is God used Jesus like a tool out of a toolbox and raised you up from the dead. This is saying you have been raised with Jesus, or in the same way that Jesus was raised from the dead, you too have been raised from the dead. There is no difference in the resurrection He experienced from what you have experienced. And He's talking about a spiritual resurrection. because we have not been raised from the dead physically. Therefore, this has to be a reference. You cannot compare a physical resurrection to a spiritual resurrection. It's absolutely impossible. So he's talking about in the same way that Jesus was made sin and died in that condition, and then the Father raised him free from that sin, when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you also were raised in the exact same fashion. You will never be God. You're never going to be a part of the Godhead, but you have been risen the exact same way. So whatever God did for Jesus, which released his life into Jesus, raising him up from the dead, God has done the same thing for us. He said, you are buried with him, but you're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Now, if you jump over in verse 20, he says, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Now I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to back up and start reading verse 20 again. And when I begin reading at verse 20, I will be skipping verse 21 and part of verse 22, and I'm going to read this all in a way that will seem to make more sense. So you need to follow along in your Bible as I do this. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances after the commandments and doctrines of men, things like touch not, taste not, and handle not, which all are to perish with the using? Which things, what things is he talking about? The ordinances, the commandments, and the doctrines of men. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. So here he's saying, look, if you're dead with Christ, then why are you looking to men for a set of rules and regulations on how to live? He said, men are going to give you ordinances, commandments, and doctrines that they come up with. And they're going to tell you, well, now you can't do this over here, and you can't do that over there. And the things that they tell you not to do may indeed be very good things that you shouldn't do. And he says, which things, meaning being obedient to these rules they set before you, have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. So let me kind of, it's kind of King Jamesy here. He's saying, you know what? You guys are, notice what he says, dead with Christ. However, you are still struggling with things of the flesh. So you're sitting down and you're listening to man give you a set of rules, their doctrines, their ordinances, their commandments, their instructions. And you're listening to this, and they're saying things like, well, now, you know, you better not commit adultery. And you're saying, yeah, I better not do that. Well, you better not steal, and you better not. In other words, they're telling you good things. And so what you do is you sit down and you begin thinking, I'm not going to do those things anymore. I'm just not going to do this anymore. And mentally, you begin fighting a battle on the inside. The flesh that is saying, but I want to do these things. And the mind that is saying, no, 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 I can't do those things. Preacher said we can't do these things. You know, the pastor told us we better not do these things. I'm not going to do these things. I will not do these things. I'm just not going to do these things. But on the inside, there's this constant battle going on. And he says, if you're dead with Christ, why in the world are you struggling this way? If you are dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, or the elements, or the things of this world, and really that means anything connected with creation, no matter what it is. It could be alcohol, it could be drugs, it could be men, women, it doesn't matter what it is. He's saying, look, if you're dead with Christ from these things of the world, then why in the world are you subjecting yourself to the rules and regulations of man and then doing your best with your will to say, no, I won't do it anymore. I won't do it anymore. If you're dead to it, you should not be having the struggles with it. Well, he continues, one of the worst things in the world was a chapter break between chapter 2 and chapter 3. Because he has not changed thoughts. Notice in verse 20 he says, wherefore if ye be dead with Christ, chapter 3 verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ. So in verse 20 he's saying, here's what's going on. You profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're dead with Christ to this stuff of the world. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then guess what? You're risen with Christ. You have been raised to life in the same way that God raised Jesus to life. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Meaning, this, the image this is painting there in verse 3 is my life and Christ's life have been completely intertwined and we are all together as one in God. Which is exactly what Jesus prayed back over there in John chapter 17. Father, you and me, I and you, they and us, that we're all one. Now notice this. In verses 20 through 23, he's identifying you are dead with Christ to all this stuff of the world. You are dead to it. Why in the world are you seeking man for an understanding on what not to do? This results in you using your emotions, your willpower, to say no to all of this junk. He said, you know what? There is a much better way to handle this. Because if you be risen with Christ, stop seeking direction from man on how to deal with stuff. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. In other words, he's telling you, this word seek means you have to do this. It's not going to just happen for you because you're a Christian. You have to put forth effort to seek these things. It's not going to be just this automatic someday outpouring of God upon your life just because you're there. He's saying, no, look, if you be risen with Christ, then what you have to do is make a conscious decision to turn your attention from the way man is teaching you to do things and seek those things which are above and set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. This phrase, the set your affection, literally means you make a decision. These things are going to mean the most to me. Well, remember what Jesus said in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Well, that is talking about really provision. But this is a variation on the theme. We've gone beyond provision, and now we're talking about a victorious life here on earth, free from junk. Free, literally, living free from the feelings of the flesh of, I want to do this stuff. He's saying, you know what? You can get past will worship. If you will set your affection on things above, and if you will begin pursuing, seeking after those things that are associated with Christ, who is at the right hand of God, which, by the way, is where you're seated with him, those things that pertain to the kingdom, those things that pertain to the character, the life, the very nature of God himself. He said, if you'll do this and set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, because you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God, then the result is this. You're going to come to the place of understanding you are dead with Christ to these things and that your life is hid with Christ in God and God has no problem with these things. Therefore, you can become like that to where you no longer are struggling with these issues in your life. Now, to see this even more clearly, just jump to verse 5. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. We'll just stop with verse 5. In other words, I had been using willpower to keep myself from not doing what my urges are telling me to do. And he's saying, but if you will set your affection above, on things above, and you will make a decision to seek after those things associated with who you are in Christ, then what you're going to be doing in the process is mortifying these things. Meaning, you're not going to have to use your willpower anymore. The life of Christ in you is going to begin to develop in such a way to where no longer are you going to have the urges to want to do these things. God doesn't have those urges. Therefore, His life in you will begin to dominate every aspect of your dead flesh to where no longer are you having to use willpower. Now, it's just an automatic lifestyle to live free from all of this stuff. But you have to seek those things which are above and set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. There's a difference between using willpower and mortifying something. I don't have to use my willpower against something that is dead to me, because it's dead to me and it no longer presents any kind of a conflict with me. I remember, and I won't give this person's name, if I did, some of you may know who he is. A Christian recording artist. Just an incredible voice. And it came out that he had been involved with homosexuality. And he had been struggling with that even back into, I guess, his late teen years. I don't know when it started. Well, anyway, I was able to get in contact with him, and we communicated about this. And I asked him, well, how are you doing here? And he was very open with me. And he said, well, I'll tell you. I'm not doing that. He said, but I still have those feelings. And he said, I guess I'm always going to have those feelings. And I thought, I wish I could just sit with you. Just in person, sit with you and open the Bible and just walk you through this and help you see that if you really, truly begin setting your affection on those things above. Yes. And it's a choice. That's the thing here, is a choice. It's not an arbitrary act of grace that it will just happen. He's telling you, set your affection on those things above and you make the decision to seek for those things. You have to do this. But he says, in the process of doing that, The life of God in you begins growing. It begins developing. It begins maturing to the place to where you begin mortifying all of that junk that you were struggling with. It doesn't matter what it was. Smoking, drinking, alcohol, porno, just cussing. I mean, it doesn't matter what it was. Lying. It doesn't matter. You will begin putting that stuff to permanent death in your life by the power of God's life rising up on the inside of you. And even though you are still housed in a flesh body, the flesh is no longer giving you a hard time over this stuff. You can be left alone in a room with a computer, and you are not going to go to websites you shouldn't go to. It won't happen. Because there will be nothing in you that wants to do this. Nothing. Nothing. Now, see, when you present it like that, a lot of Christians struggle with that concept. It's like, but, you know, look at this world we live in. Well, he says right here, why are you looking at the things of the world? Why are you focusing on that? Sure, you live in this world. But you're letting man come along and tell you 10 steps to be free from, to not do these things. And basically, they're just training you how to use your mind, how to, you know, tie yourself to a pole, but the urges are still there. God's saying, hold on a second. My life in you does not urge for any of that kind of stuff. And if you will begin to seek me, make a decision to seek me and set your affection on these things above, it is a process, but it is a process of total and absolute victory. And you will get to the place of not having to use willpower. You will have mortified all of those things. They will be dead to you. You can get to the place of going down here for a man, going out here to one of these beaches. And one of these girls come walking by wearing a bikini. You know what I'm talking about here, right? And not even think about, boy, if I could. You guys know exactly what I'm talking about. Because let's face it, there are times you're going to see things and hear things, smell things, whatever, that can bring back memories of your past. But memories of your past don't have to dominate you. The past can be completely buried with Christ. And he's saying, look, if you're dead with Christ, chapter 2, verse 20, why in the world do you live like you're still bound to the things in the world? You're risen with Christ. You have the life of God on the inside of you. Now, make a decision to set your affection on things above, to seek those things which are above. And when you do, this is the process of mortifying all of that junk in your life. To what, you know what? You're not going to feel like I got to call the pastor and have a counseling session. Pastor, what do? I just keep wanting to do this stuff. How do I get past these feelings? Right here. This is it. God's telling you how to get past the thoughts, past the feelings, all of it. He's telling you how to live free of everything that's related to this world. Here's the thing, guys. We're talking about pressing into revival. This is a part of a prerequisite for a revival. Man, you've got to have, when you talk about moving into revival, you have got to have core people who are strong in what I'm showing you right here in the Word. Because if you don't, that revival, it won't be a real revival. It will just be a temporary move of God. But it won't be a true revival. You've got to have people who are a reflection of Jesus. And he's telling you how to do this. He's telling you how to mortify this. Okay, now you think about tonight, this night right here. It's a Friday night. Every one of us in here could have done something. We didn't have to be there. We could have stayed home and watched old westerns on television. You know, like those old shows like Bonanza. You know what I'm talking about? Gunsmoke. You know. I mean, there are a lot of good things we could have done tonight. And I am not in any way trying to criticize people who are not here. Please don't misunderstand. But being here tonight and doing what you do, the times you come together for the confessions, it's a part of this process that we're seeing in here of seeking those things that are above and setting our affection on those things above. You remember where God was talking about over there in, I think it was Jeremiah 55:11. I think that was it, where he said, my word, when it goes forth out of my mouth, won't return void. It'll accomplish what I send it forth to. Do you know why? If we take his words and make his words our words, we are speaking his life into our circumstances. See, that's what these confessions are all about. It's a variation on the theme of his word. So we make these confessions, we are sowing the word of God. Now, here's what happens, and this is not a mistake that you guys make, but it's an easy mistake that anyone could make. We make the confessions, and in our mind we're making these confessions for and about everybody and everything around us, right? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I may be confessing over my loved ones and your loved ones and over this city and so forth, but do you understand, as I'm speaking the Word of God, I'm speaking the life of God, I not only need to see change taking place in my family, your family, in this community, but I also need to see change taking place in me. Capture a vision of when I make these confessions, I'm tearing down strongholds and all this other, but at the same time, I'm speaking the Word of God. I'm speaking the life of God, and change is taking place in me. Because as I make these confessions, I am seeking those things that are above. I am setting my affection on those things above. I am becoming more kingdom focused. And one of the things that can help us, and this is kind of a battle with the mind, is when the confessions are over, we go and we get in our cars and we're beginning to leave. You know, one of the things that we can have, even if it's just a 2 or 3 second thought, is that, bless God, I made progress in me tonight. I mean, I helped my church and my family members here at church and this community and all that, but I made change in me tonight.
Praise God.
I developed more in me tonight.
Praise God.
And I mortified even more this junk that maybe I've struggled with or whatever the situation would be.
Hallelujah.
He tells you right here, this is how you seek this victory. Make that decision. And see, when you come here, this is not idle time. It's impossible to speak the Word of God and it be idle time. Absolutely impossible. So here you are tonight, every one of you here, regardless of what takes place the rest of the night, whether it's confessions or worship or prayer, whatever it is, you're working. You're making the effort to seek those things which are above. You are making a decision. You know, tonight I'm going to spend some time and I purpose that I will set my affection on those things from up above, from the kingdom of God, where Christ is seated, where I'm seated with Him. I'm making that decision tonight for me.
Hallelujah.
For everybody else too, but for me.
Praise God.
God needs me to change. If nobody else changes, He needs me to change.
Praise God.
And I'm mortifying stuff in me that I didn't even know was there.
Yes. Praise God.
Glory to
God.
And so, I personally want to thank you for being here tonight. This is a part of revival. Starting Sunday, I'm going to be sharing things with this church that God spoke to me and told me specifically to share with this church. Now, there may be people from other churches here. And everything that I'm going to share, the principles will apply to any church. But He specifically told me to share these things that I'm going to be sharing this week. And some of the things that I'm going to be sharing, I've never taught anywhere else. There's at least one prophetic word that He gave me that I'm going to share here that I've never shared publicly before. And I encourage you, as much as you're able, to be here for these services. Because what I'm going to share some things specifically. It's about revival.
Hallelujah.
It's about what you're believing for here. And some of the things I'm going to share is going to open your eyes to help you understand why haven't we seen it yet. There is a reason. And it's not like, well, there must be sin in the camp. Oh, no. No, that's not it. There's no revelation of sin. God wants us to understand the process. Now, I don't want to get way out here. But we will start this on Sunday morning. But see, this tonight that I shared with you, you know, it wasn't real long, but quite frankly, for some people, it would be deep calleth unto deep,
yes.
Especially when you understand, don't put that break in between chapter 2 and chapter 3. He's still talking about the same thing. And so by the time we leave here tonight, get in our cars and head back home, praise God, we will have changed a little bit more, conforming to the image of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah.